Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, academic lectures in business and economics. This is Business Finance FIL 240 for spring semester 2026.
Today, interest rates, including forward rates and the Fisher effect. This will be using another spreadsheet that I have for you. You could probably do this on your own pretty quickly, but it's like the holding period return. It's just kind of nice to have it in a spreadsheet. And I have one that's called interest rates. And that one has a, there's one thing that is in the whole interest rates problem scenario topic, and it's actually pretty intense, and the math of it is noticeably hard. But with this Excel spreadsheet that I have, it's just like very quickly it happens. So if I have time today before the quiz, I will show you that. Otherwise, I'll just do that next week. It's quite useful. You're going to see in the book, they go through a topic called forward rates, and they try their best to make it look obvious and simple, but it takes a little of your breath away. So an Excel sheet just makes it like automatic. So like I said, if I have time today, I'll show it to you. If I don't, I'll show it to you next Monday. But I do want to bring up holding period return again, and I do want to show you something called annualized rates today. But the first thing we'll do is look at the numbers. Now, as I had mentioned earlier, this is a big earnings season. The last quarter of 2025, the earnings from that are now starting to show up. Those the income statements and balance sheets and all that are now being published and sent to the SEC and all of that. So you're seeing these earnings reports coming out. And it's sort of like every day it seems like there's a whole new wave of these companies reporting their earnings. And we see whether they look good or not. And then the stock price moves accordingly to a certain extent. I will say, though, one interesting thing, if I remember, I'll show you. Microsoft came out with good earnings. I mean, it was good earnings. And the stock was slapped in the face. There was quite a sell-off. The reason was that the markets had thought the earnings weren't going to be great. They were going to be super great. And so when Microsoft says, hey, look, we got great earnings, the market said, yeah, well, we wanted more. And so they knocked the price of the stock down. And I'll show you that in a second here. But look around the world here. First, on the other side of the world, you've got Nikkei was up a good 1.02%. So Tokyo seemed to be happy. It had been in a bad mood a lot, sour days, and now it's kind of showing some life again. Nice up. And Hang Seng was up about 0.5%. So looks pretty good over there. Australia took a nosedive, especially it just dropped off the face of the earth there almost there for a while today. So kind of a mixed message, but it looks like Asia is not in terrible shape today as far as economic outlook goes and the interest of the bulls in investing in the market and all that. You come over here to Europe and you get a somewhat similar, although a lot somewhat stronger, when you look at things like the Euronext, it was up, a nice combination of stocks was up. Oh, wow, more than I thought, 1.40%. That's a good strong day. And the CAC was up a good 0.8%. So, and then looking at the FTSE, well, London was up too. So all across the continent and the British Isles, you had a bull day. It was bullish, very bullish. Over here on our side of the water, though, the Dow was up, nothing spectacular. It's a good day so far. Now, remember, we're still trading right now. We still have a couple of hours left in our trading day. So where it's going to go from right here is anybody's guess. But right now, it's up 0.5%. The S&P is up more, which we expect. It's a little riskier stock portfolio at about 0.75%. And then the NASDAQ is really just having a good day today. Although notice something about, look at the spark chart on NASDAQ. Do you see how all of that gain happened in the first hour or so? See that pop there? But then after that, it's just kind of floated. So in other words, there was good information, good news information coming into the day. And that just shot it up at the beginning. But without any more good information or bad information, it will just float. It will just drift along. Again, Newton's law. If you want to accelerate or decelerate a rocket, you have to apply a new force to it. And since there's no new force of information in a stock, in the stocks, then they just stay where they were, floating along. I've mentioned this one before, and I'll just bring it up again, just as a quick one. This VIX, V-I-X, and I don't know if I mentioned it, I don't know if you remember it. VIX is not a stock or a stock portfolio. It's a metric of the volatility of stock prices up and down. So when it's in the red, volatility is declining. In other words, there's not as much up and down. If it's in the green, there is more volatility, more up and down. And as you can see here, all day long, the VIX has been in the red, which means that through the day today, the volatility of stock prices has been easing up. It's something that you just kind of keep an eye on to see if the market is jittery or not. And right now, the market is in kind of just a good mood. It's not a shaky good mood. It's just a good mood for now. So it's just one of those that you look at as sort of a side, with a side glance to see how stable the markets are in terms of prices of stocks overall. Now coming down here, we have gold is beginning its movement up. It's above $5,000 an ounce, and it's pushing upward right now. Now gold is not trading, I don't believe, right at this hour. And I had mentioned this before, commodities have their own cycles. It's not day and night. It's not stock market opening bell to closing bell. Each commodity has its own cycle through a day, a rest period, and then the rest of the 24 hours it's trading. And so right now you aren't going to see gold do anything. I will tell you right now, I took a position in gold yesterday morning, and then today my position was doing really well, and then nothing happened. I thought go, keep going up. And then it occurred to me, no, the market for gold is not trading right now. So that's why it just kind of froze in the middle of the day. And I couldn't remember that, oh, gold isn't trading right now. So you're not going to see any movement in the price for a while. Later on, that price will start bouncing around again when the market opens back up. But like I said, these markets have their own schedules, their own cycles of 20 hours on, 4 hours off for a lot of things. But crude, well, there you go. We hit the 70-65 I talked about. 70 on the Brent Light Sweet, 65 on the overall average of oil prices. So as I had told you before, there are two forces pushing. Supply of oil is beginning to be curtailed by OPEC, but the demand for hydrocarbon products is slacking. So there's two forces working against each other, and right now the supply force is taking over and pushing the price. Supply going down, price goes up. So that's what we're seeing right now. And eventually that's going to translate into higher gasoline prices, but it's nothing that's going to knock your socks off, at least not for the time being, maybe up 5-10 cents over the next couple of weeks, but we'll see about that. One thing that is a little troubling, and this goes to interest rates, that 10-year bond right there, remember that's like an index that tells us where all bond prices are going. It's beginning to see some upward movement. Last time we looked at it on Monday, it was at 4.05%. this morning, today, right now, and I think bonds, are bonds still trading right now? Yeah, maybe they are. It's up to 4.08%. So there is that nudge upward. And as interest rates go up, eventually that begins to have its effect on the economy. There is higher interest rates mean that there is less borrowing for, you know, factories and jobs that are attendant to factories. And on the consumer side, interest rates go up on automobiles. Fewer automobiles are bought. Interest rates go up on home furnishings, and those go, so home furnishings investments go down. And so this is a sort of unhealthy, but the Fed is committed to keeping inflation from reigniting. It's already a problem, and the Fed has to show strength. It has to keep that money supply tight. And of course, that's going to keep the real interest rate high. And until expected inflation cools back down, we'll have overall nominal interest rates will be on the high side, which will slow down economic growth. And we have other factors that are slowing down economic growth. But let me show you a couple of, well, first of all, let me bring up the first of the files that I'll bring up is, just so that you're comfortable with it, is a holding period return. Spreadsheets, files, spreadsheets, holding period return. I'll bring that one up first. Using the three dots to download it, and always remember to do that. And we're waiting for it. Okay, there we go. Enable it. There we go. And I'll have that. I'll just keep that over here on the side as we look at a few stocks here to see what's going on. Now, Walmart issued its earnings, WMT. I think they've issued their earnings. If they haven't, it's very close. Very soon. And as you can see, Walmart's gotten punished, which would tell us that it looks like its earnings aren't as good as the market was hoping they would be. So, it took a bit of a dive today. It's down almost 2%. That's a noticeable amount down for a stock like Walmart. Now, notice Walmart has a beta of only 0.67. So that's kind of a warning sign that this was not definitely not a good day for Walmart. Now, let me do it this way. Sorry. Now, what I'll do is I'll put, so we can do a holding period return on it. I want you to be comfortable with this so that you can do it in maybe a matter of 30 seconds on the quiz and on the midterm and the final. So what we have is a beginning price here of 126.35 and an ending price, look down here, 1 year projection is for 129.02. And it has a dividend yield of, that's a lousy dividend. Okay, dividends, any dividend is better than no dividend. But you think about a healthy dividend in the 2% or better range. That's when that's a good dividend. Walmart's is a really chintzy dividend. So you're relying mostly on the stock price going up to make any money on an investment in the common stock of Walmart. So anyway, that dividend is 0.73. Now I caution you one thing, some of you might notice a little glitch. When that you put in that dividend in the holding period return, make sure that you see a percentage. And if you do see one, just type in the percent without any symbol. If for some reason the percent doesn't show up, you have to type the percent, but it should show up. Excel sometimes doesn't have it show up, but you notice how I just put in 0.73 and the percent was there for me. Again, though, if you don't see the percent, type in a percent. But anyway, here's what we get. You get a lousy return over a one-year holding period on Walmart of 2.84%. Now, granted, that beta is like 0.67, so it's a safe stock. You shouldn't expect a ginormous return. But 2.84 is just ridiculous. That's even below the risk-free rate. This is not a company that is really of much interest for investment purposes, because you've got a beta. It's, you know, not a dangerous beta at all, but at the same time, you're not getting hardly any return on it. So this is one that we would want to probably say, no, I shop at Walmart, but I won't buy their stupid stock. And one thing here, just as a quick note, remember I told you about PE ratios? About 30 is appropriately valued. Above 30 is overvalued. Below 30 is undervalued. Well, you see that Walmart is overvalued at 44.20. That is actually, in other words, this stock price needs to go down some before it will be near its intrinsic value. So there are a lot of features here that are telling us as investors, maybe we ought to look somewhere else besides Walmart for a decent investment. Now, let me take you on to a couple of others. Now, I've done this one before, but I'll cross back into it. Home Depot, HD. Now, Home Depot took a little bit of a bath today. It had a major drop, and then it bounced right back up, and then it went back down again. That usually means that heavy investors are of different opinions about whether the earnings report was bad or good. Something in it was giving the bulls at first reason to get excited, buy the stock. But then bears started looking at it and say, oh, this is bad. And they knocked it back down. There's that trough right there. So what happened at this point was the bulls came back and said, bargain. The price has dropped. We love this stock. They're going to buy back in and shoot it back up. And then you had this fight, and the bears are finally kind of winning here over the course of the day's trading day so far. So it's one of those that's kind of a little scary. Which way would you want to buy it or sell on this one? But look at the numbers here really quick. We've got an initial price of $382.25. We buy it today for $382.25. In a year, the projection is that you could sell it for $398.09. And it has a dividend. Now, that's a decent dividend. Remember I told you about 2% or better is a decent dividend. Well, this has a good dividend, 2.4%. So the overall holding period return on Home Depot is 6.54%. Now, this is a little bit more of a thinking about it. The beta of Home Depot, as you can see there, is 1.09. That's above 1. And 6.54. In my judgment, that would be not enough. You're taking more risk than the market, a little more risk than the market. It's above 1, the beta is. And all you're getting for that money you're throwing at it is 6.54%. The market, there are a lot of investments. You've seen them where you get more than that for betas that aren't in any really high territory. So even Home Depot is kind of isn't really interesting to us right now. We'll see as time goes on. Interestingly, its PE ratio is a little less than 30. It might be a little undervalued, but with these numbers looking the way they are right now, I'm not really the kind of investor who would be interested in this as a buy right now. And one more I'll do is Lowe's for you, just to show a comparative. L-O-W, Lowe's. They are also one of those home improvement places. So I wanted to show you two that are in the same sector, see how they look together. We go through here. We have a holding, the price today, if you bought it today, you pay about $281.89. The projection is in 1 year that it will be 284.25. And its dividend yield is an okay 1.71%. Oh, there's no way. You see that return just, I mean, you got a beta almost one. It's almost market risk. And yet all you're getting is your total return. The gain in the stock price and your dividend check are going to give you only 2.55%. Again, that's below the risk-free rate. You could buy T-bills and get better than that. So this is another one. It looks like we've seen two companies in this sector that are projected to have lackluster growth for the next year. And in those kinds of cases, you kind of start thinking to yourself, is this sector even worth looking too much more into? Because you've got two of the heavies in the industry in that sector, and they're both showing signs that there's not good returns. I mean, they're positive returns, but still, for the betas that you're taking on, probably not. Now, why don't we take this one off the board? 10 minutes? Don't save. And the next thing I'm going to show you is very, I'll do one more thing here. I walked right away from, okay. Let me show you one, and this won't be on the quiz, but I'll get into it on Monday. In your spreadsheets, the one thing that one that I haven't shown you is this interest rates download. And did that actually even work? Did it even download? Yep. Okay, just real quick here. I showed you a formula here. Nominal rate is the real rate plus the expected inflation premium, IP. That is actually not the right formula. It's very close to getting you the same results usually as the correct formula. But sometimes if these two numbers, the real rate and the inflation premium, are much different or big, it will actually be not a good estimate. The actual rate comes from what is called the Fisher effect. The way you really should calculate it is the nominal rate is one plus the real rate times one plus the inflation premium minus one. Interestingly, and I'll show you this, I've got this worksheet right here in interest rates. Watch the rate. We're going to put in the real rate here. Let's put in a real rate of 3.1%. And let's put in an expected inflation premium of 2.75%. Now, the simplistic way, just add the two together, will get you 5.85%. But if you do it by that formula down there, you get a little bit different rate. It comes out to be 5.94%. Now, a lot of times we use the quickie add them up, but we do recognize that we should and sometimes must use that Fisher effect rate. So watch just a couple, another one. Suppose that I lower the interest rates to 2.1%, for the expected inflation premium, and 2.4% for the real rate of return. Notice that they are much closer. They're only 5 basis points apart. As I had told you, when the numbers are bigger or when they're a lot different, then the correct way gets you a number noticeably different from the just add them up way. So if I got like the real rate was 4.6% and the expected inflation premium was 3.9%, that's 18 basis points. I mean, if I take 4.6 plus 3.9, you get 8.5, the easy way to do it. But if you use that formula way, then you get, now it's getting noticeable. You see how when the numbers get bigger, you'll see a divergence more between the easy way and the correct way. In this case, you've got 18 basis points of difference. So if I ask this on a test or a quiz at some point, not today, I won't, but if I ask it, well, just pull up this sheet and get your answers. I mean, it's not that hard, but it's just less likely that you're going to key in something wrong. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sign into Attendance Radar. And once you have, the quiz will become available in about 4 minutes here. And you do that, and once you're finished with it, that's all I have for you today. And I will let you go on your own.